podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to podcast number 7 from the XFM Breakfast Show. On today's podcast, the secret obsessions of Ed from Friendly Fires, Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis play Snap My Pitch Up, and the welcome return of Quizface.
Yes, we are XFM.
Benny Wallace.
Shall we have a little look what's going on in the newspapers there, Matt?
Cast your wry eye upon this morning's broadsheets.
I will. Here's my sideways glance. not much going on until I saw this story, Matthew. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but fresh out at the moment and available for purchase is the brand new Cliff Richard calendar for 2012. Yes. And there are some terrific photos.
I can see one, quite disturbing looking one.
Do you want to just describe that one there? Yeah, what's happening there?
He's on a basketball court.
He is.
In shorts and a vest.
He is. And he's looking intently into the camera. He's almost squatting. Yeah. And the ball looks affixed to one hand, almost like it's glued on, like in a comic or a cartoon. And there he is, bouncing that ball. There's another picture there of him having a massage. And he's sort of, I guess he's kind of pressing himself up, almost like a press-up. Yeah. Hands clasped with a lady's two hands around his lovely neck. And just underneath that, probably my favourite one, he's in a wetsuit. He's coming out of the water a bit like Jesus, with kind of, you know, one hand in the air and the other one slightly lower, while a dolphin leaps behind him. Look, see that? That should be on the cover of the Cliff Richard calendar there. Now, these are all available, of course, these calendars, from stationery stores or online at danilo.com if you want to. There's also, he's hugging a horse while wearing leather cowboy chaps as well. That's another good one. So there are many, many various Cliff Richard shots that you can get in this 2012 calendar. He's 71 in October. That's the amazing thing. He does not look. He never has. And he's preparing to release a new album called Soulicious. And there's lots and lots of little facts here that I thought were quite interesting. He's 5'10". He weighs 10 stone 7 pounds. He's got a 30-inch waist, same as 30 years ago. The man hasn't changed. And we all started thinking, you know, when I was showing you these pictures of like the dolphin leaping and telling you about the horse and the chaps and stuff like that, I saw your eyes light up because I've got a Cliff Richard fact, which is that Cliff Richard is the first autograph I ever got when I was a child. My dad sat near him on a train and got him to do an autograph for me, and that was the beginning of my autograph collection. Later, I got Barbara Windsor when she opened up like a Summerfield in Loughborough. then I got Emlyn Hughes, as we've discussed,
High tech.
Absolutely. Thanks Emily to those guys. Hughes, yeah. Yeah, and I gave up collecting autographs soon after when I realised that there was no way I was ever going to be able to collect them all. Yeah. I just thought, there's too many of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'll stop now after three. But you've got a Cliff Richard fact, Dave.
I have. Cliff Richard used to play tennis at my local gym in Cheshire.
There you go. You've got one also.
Well, yeah, I've got two. I read recently that he's well into curries. He loves Indian food because he grew up in colonial India.
Is that right?
Apparently, yeah. And also, he once got into a lift with my brother Tom and his young family.
I prefer that fact.
And says, has said hello there to my little niece Bella.
Oh, that's nice.
Hello there.
He follows a book called Secrets of Longevity, Hundreds of Ways to Live to be 100, and amongst its tips are daily doses of garlic, orange peel and celery juice. So I feel that in the last couple of minutes, we have got a bit more of a handle on Sir Cliff Richard. And I thought it'd be nice, you know, to see if anyone else has got any Cliff Richard facts. You know?
There's so many of them.
Well, but it's 100% of people in this studio have got some kind of Cliff Richard fact, some connection with the great man. So tell us something we don't know about Sir Cliff Richard. Perhaps you've stood and lived with him. Perhaps you once went to a leisure centre in Cheshire and saw him. Maybe you've swum with a dolphin and seen Cliff Richard leaping out at the same time. Or perhaps you manufacture leather cowboy chaps and are looking for the only remaining man in Britain who seems to buy them.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
How was your weekend? Good?
It was very nice, thank you.
Yeah, what did you get up to?
I went to see, I actually went to see Justin Lee Collins' show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He's good, isn't it? He stole the show.
Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
Is he great?
Yeah, no, he is very good. Yeah.
I'm going to head down there.
He's very convincing American accent.
I was surprised by how convincing. Mm. When he came in, he was doing his American accent. It sounded terrific.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Is he a good dancer?
The dancing was the one area where he could slightly improve.
I see, all right.
That's
it's
me
great.
Being picky.
Look, Matt Dyson's turned into a theatre critic, Dave. This is amazing. How are you, Dave? What's going on?
Yes, not bad at all, thanks, mate. I also had a JLC weekend because I caught up on his Vegas show that he did last week, which I thoroughly enjoyed as well.
That's great.
But I'd also like to pick him up on the dancing again because he wasn't great with the dancing in it.
So everyone very much having JLC weekends.
What about you?
Well, no, I mean, I went through my JLC scrapbook that I've got all the clippings that I've made of JLC over the last few years, and I dressed up as JLC, I dressed up my wife as JLC, I dressed up my tiny son as JLC.
Okay.
We stole a dog and we dressed a dog up as JLC.
Oh.
And we did links. We it was like a Friday night project in my house, and we all just sat there doing our favourite JLC links.
Oh, good times.
Good times, exactly. I've just realised that the team I'm working with is absolutely obsessed with Justin Lee Collins. Not one of them going through any of my books, nothing like that. It's all just completely JLC. So while I reprimand there, I wonder what Phil's doing. I mean, Phil's, you know, I wonder if Phil's just standing outside JLC's house right now.
That's why he's not here. Yeah.
Just knocking on the door gently. Good news, Matt.
Yes.
Do you know what that could be?
Tell us.
Well, it's all to do with our friend, Yvonne... I'm getting emotional.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yvonne the cow.
There's a lump in all our throats this morning, I think.
It's Yvonne the cow is what I'm talking about. You'll understand my emotion when I tell you that she's been on the run, this German cow, for many weeks now. We've covered the story in depth.
I know.
Probably the only UK radio station to have covered it in quite the depth that we have.
That's all right.
And I can tell you this morning, Matt... She's alive and well and can be found. This is good. This is good news. The Scarlet Pimpernel of the bovine world is absolutely fine. Conrad Gutmann, 46, he got a €10,000 reward, which had been offered by a German newspaper, after spotting Yvonne. And he says, it was just luck, really. He's a farmer. And he says, I was out taking a tour of my electric fence. Now, that's odd. That's odd. I know there's not much to do in the countryside in some parts of Bavaria, but taking a tour of an electric fence. really does take the biscuit. Anyway, he saw Yvonne. Yvonne was very shy. Yvonne went back into the woods when she saw Conrad there. And he said, you could see the stress of the past days and weeks had taken its toll on poor Yvonne. Now, Yvonne has been taken back to safety. She's been reunited with Freezy, which is her son, and also her sister Valtraut, who was very, very pleased to see her. And the sanctuary that's taken her in promises that Yvonne will remain comfortable and undisturbed for the remainder of her days. This is a great day for Yvonne and a great day for XFM. I can't claim that we were directly responsible for the recapture of Yvonne, but here is how we covered the story. A €10,000 reward is being offered in Germany for the safe return of a cow called Yvonne, who went on the run in May. She was due to be taken to the slaughterhouse. At the last second, she managed to leg it as word spread of this invincible cow. That's a bold claim. There had been a rule that went out saying that local hunters could shoot Yvonne on sight, right? So that made everyone go a little bit crazy. All the stops are being pulled out to catch Yvonne alive. Last week, they enlisted the help of a bull called Ernst. Ernst has a very deep baritone moo, right, that will appeal to Yvonne, as well as a very manly musk. It's very much the Matt Dyson of the cow world. They've now called on an animal psychic. She said she's managed to contact Yvonne using telepathy. I spoke to her yesterday, and she said that she was fine, but didn't feel ready to come out of hiding. It's very much pulling out all the stops to catch Yvonne the cow. Runaway cow to be left in peace. And that's a good thing.
They're leaving it.
The government is going to employ one man with a dart gun to just roam around the forests of Bavaria on the off chance of seeing this cow. So Yvonne the cow is safe, everyone.
Brilliant news.
I think we can finally put this this story to bed, which is good. Well, let's hope it's not another twist. And there was no other twist. Yvonne is safe, but you might be wondering where that leaves us, Matt. We are now bereft. Bereft of a campaign.
Yeah.
Until now. In the newspaper this morning, let's cluck off a dozen... They're going to be careful, because that could sound rude.
Yeah,
I don't think they thought that through. A dozen chickens escaped after a truck taking 5,000 birds to a slaughterhouse overturned near Colchester in Essex. A new campaign is born. Let us free the Colchester 12. If you have seen any errant chickens in or around Colchester, do please let us know.
We are... XFM.
City. sitting in front of me is perhaps the hottest on-screen pairing in years. One is resplendent in a kind of polka dot style dress. The other is wearing a flat cap. Resplendent is a good word to use.
That's a fantastic word.
You can have that, Justin Timberlake, and you can also use it, Mila Kunis. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I feel resplendent.
It is a necessary requirement of coming on this program that you both sign up for at least one other project that I am producing as they come up. This is called Snap My Pitch Up. Mila, yours is the first one, my dear, for you. This is a reality adventure show that we're pitching to, well, essentially Latvian television to start with, but it can cross over. It's called Making a Mila of It. Mila Kunis is on a mission to create 1 million life-size replicas of herself using only ingredients she grows herself. Are you in? Are you in?
Count me in. Can I eat myself?
Like, you can do whatever.
My own versions of myself.
This is a star vehicle for you. You can do whatever you want. You're an exec producer of the whole thing.
I think you just found your tagline.
I do.
Watch me eat myself.
Well, we've got one for you. Cry Me a River. Justin Timberlake takes 200 emotionally unstable women to a drought-stricken plain.
Oh, my God.
And using only the power of his very saddest songs.
Wait, I'm sorry. Start that over.
Oh, my God.
Well, I take
what?
Well, I'm going to get a coach organized.
How many?
200 emotionally unstable women.
So then just women?
Just emotionally unstable women. Yes,
what?
Exactly.
Okay.
To a drought-stricken plain, using only the power of your very saddest songs, you will then attempt to create a river of lady tears to aid stricken local farmers. This could take some time.
So we're going to grow trees.
Yeah.
By the power making of women feel bad about themselves.
No, through the power of your poetry and song.
Can the power of his poetry and song provide the rain, the tears that are going to grow the fruit that's going to duplicate myself?
Cross-branding.
Brilliant.
We're cross-branding.
We are cross-branding.
Like, his tears will grow me.
Well, this is great.
Watch what happens when Cry Me a River meets make a meal of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it sounds like you're both in, so I'll just move on. The only one I was really going to pitch after that was Mila Fila, which is a reality show in which every week I have to identify Mila Kunis by touch alone. And this one I really do think could run and run. We had Mila Steeler, Mila's on Wheelers, and we had another one, Justin's Rusting Dustbin. I don't really know what that is.
You don't know? You don't have it? Just the name? That's all you have?
At the moment, yeah. I was hoping you could maybe bring something to this process.
It sounds like Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Listen, we can make this whatever you want. I just need to
like
sign
Justin
up.
Justin the housekeeper?
Brilliant. Are you in? Justin Timberlake.
Walk out in a butler outfit?
Like, yes. Yes, and you dust all day long.
This is terrific.
Dust.
I just dust all day long.
Yeah, what is it called? Justin's Dustin?
Justin's Rusting Dustbin.
Dustbin. Yeah.
Rusting Dustbin.
Yeah.
I was about to say something bad.
Don't.
I censored myself.
You did.
Welcome.
But I tell you what, I want to hear what it was, so I will cut this short.
Except for the part about making women cry. I'm in.
Okay, all right. Well, we can make it 200 emotionally unstable little boys. if that appeals more to you, I don't know why you put this spin on it, but we'll go with it.
I put this spin on it?
Apparently so.
Okay.
It's a resplendent show.
That's what they do to you in the UK.
XFM. On the end of last week, Matt, you'll be aware that I went out after the show and I bumped into none other than the show's number one fan, my number one fan, the amazing Paul, right? And I thought I'll use this opportunity to, I guess, road test or have a very focused, the most focused focus group of all time. And I'll run some of the features we've been doing on the show for the past month. Past the amazing Paul and see what the vibe is on the street with our core demographic, which is the amazing Paul. Would you like to hear?
Yes, please.
Here he is.
How are you doing, Paul? Are you all right? How are you?
Mr. Wallace.
Hello.
Hello, Wallace. He's amazing, this guy. I'm so, you know, he makes my day. Every time I see him in front of me, I think I'm winning the lottery. Not with money, nothing to do with money. All I can tell you, he's amazing.
I was going to run a couple of things past you. We've been doing the show now for 1 month, Paul. One whole month.
Yeah.
It's been going well. There's a couple of things, though, I'm wondering about. What's your opinion on, say, on, like, Quiz Face?
Which?
Quiz Face, the big quiz that we do.
The big quiz. I think it's interesting, very, very interesting. And then I know that will go forward, right? But today I'm going to tell my wife, she'd be like winning the lottery until I speak to Mr. Wallace. My God, you see her. She's like a little dragon, honestly. She's amazing. Honestly, I want to see you on top of every other DJ. I like other DJs, but you deserve to be on top.
Hey! So He's subtly gone away from Quiz Face, which he either doesn't like or hasn't heard, to tell me about his wife, who's like a little dragon, who thinks that I should be on top of every other DJ.
Yes. Wow. Like most people, he was a bit freaked out by Quiz Face, perhaps.
I think, yeah, he fears Quiz Face, when in fact he should embrace it.
XFM.
We were asking you to tell us something we don't know about, well, the entertainer, Cliff Richard. And it's gone very well, especially for a Monday morning. It's unusually well, I would say, Matt. It seems like people are desperate to tell us things about Cliff Richard. So many of which we can't broadcast. But the ones that we can are terrific. Here's one, a confirmed listener, Ollie. I was at a calendar store last year, and when I saw Sir Cliff's calendar and made a joke about it, the guy working at the store was very quick to quieten me, as he informed me that he usually outsells all the other calendars aimed at women put together. That's the Cliff Richard legend. You got one there?
Confirmed listener Dougie from Brixton. Cliff Richard's longtime bass player is a family friend of ours, and I went to see him live, fortunately, when I was about 5 years old. We went backstage afterwards, where I was introduced to Alice Cooper. What
fan.
A strange person to meet at such a concert.
He's a huge Cliff Richard fan. And Neil says, Cliff fact, all his music annoys me, except for Devil Woman, which as a kid I thought was a piece of musical factual advice on the pitfalls of the opposite sex. Cliff Richard, damaging the nation's youth there. Let's do the top five.
Tell us something we don't know. At number five.
It's confirmed listener Ross in Covent Garden.
I've tasted the delicious wine that Sir Cliff Richard produces at his very own winery, the Winery of the Singer. I haven't tasted it since.
Who's next?
At number four.
We're wired for sound on XFM this morning. Becky, confirmed listener Becky says, my boyfriend Dan once saw Cliff walking into an Indian restaurant in Tolworth with Gloria Honeyford. What a spot.
That is fantastic, wasn't it?
At number three.
It's confirmed listener Mark.
We made the cross for the video freeze Wuthering Heights, and he sent us back a signed photograph of him posing with the cross, and we put it up in the company toilet.
Very nice, very nice. Deep respect there. At number two.
At number two.
I can tell you this is courtesy of confirmed listener Marcus, who says Cliff Richard's favourite joke is, what do you call a man with a seagull on his head? Cliff. He finds it hilarious. Now, you might think that Marcus is joking, but if you have read, as I have read, A Little Goes a Long Way, the autobiography of Sid Little, of Little and Large fame, right. He actually goes up to Cliff in a Chinese restaurant and says to him that exact joke, and Cliff does find it hilarious. So there you go. Not just me telling you that, not just Marcus, but Sid Little from Little and Large. But what is at number one?
And the number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
courtesy of confirmed listener Demelza in Surrey.
My cousin Susan has a double-decker bus in her garden which is kitted out with Cliff Richard memorabilia, just like summer holiday.
Wow, that is a terrific fact. Thank you so much. I think basically every day at this time we'll do Sir Cliff Richard facts, the brand new feature. They just keep on coming in.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
It's Robin Cooper, he's here. We were talking last week about your neighbour Martin Bale and the band that was, I don't know, it was causing some rift.
Well, Martin Bale's wife, who's not a very nice lady, she one of her friends, Nicky Forrester is in a band. I mentioned last time they're not a group because in a band the definition is if one of the members is over 6 feet.
Yes, yeah, I remember
she
that.
She is
yeah.
over 6 feet. She's actually 7.5 feet tall.
Nicky
but
Forrester.
She does stand on boxes quite a lot.
Right.
And they are in a band called the Potatoes, who aren't very good. And we were forced, basically, Martin was forced by his wife to go because she's been banned because she pushes over the equipment.
Yeah.
But,
does she do that?
Well, she's got a terrible rage.
Yeah.
And I think in all of us, we've got rage. We heard from Tim Walker earlier about his insurance, and he was saying, no, that was a different.
Different show.
Channel. Yeah. Television program, not like this one on television. Mm. No, and so the Potatoes, and their songs are generally, the band's called the Potatoes, and unfortunately they limit themselves to very short songs and very poor songs about potatoes.
Yeah. And it's a strange career direction to go in, isn't it?
I mean, it is a strange career because Nicky Forrester used to work for, funnily enough, the Forestry Commission.
Well, that's a strange
Which they do a wonderful job because the British forests... precipitation, etc. But we were taken along and against my will.
Yeah, you went
actually, to where was I going? Were you guessing where I was going?
I was guessing you were going to a gig, weren't you?
Have another guess.
To
rehearsal room. And I saw the band rehearsed. And when I said that I was going to be on this XFM program with Danny Wallace calling now, they said, well, we'll record a couple of songs. And actually, I think they're rather good. And I promised them, I said, well, I can, you know, I have a lot of power now at this channel. And I'll be able to definitely get them on high rotation, I believe, on the XFM playlist.
High rotation is tricky, but we can certainly have a little...
Well, it might be tricky for you, but with the power I yield over this programme and channel now, I presume, I'm sure it's very easy, with a flick of a switch, as it were, to get the potatoes on high rotation on XFM. And it is something I did promise Nikki. It will give me a free day out looking at the premises of her former work at the Forestry Commission.
Fine, all right. Well, we'll play the first one for definite, okay? So what is this track that you brought in?
Well, this is something they recorded. And, you know, if you listen to it about 100 times, you start to enjoy it. this one is I can't remember what one this one was, but it's very nice.
Mashed potatoes, we love all mad. Mashed potatoes cost a lot of cash.
Right.
Well, that was about mashed potatoes and how they don't cost a lot of cash, because unless you're using very, very expensive and high-quality butter in the mix, and also milk or cream, be expensive, then they are expensive. But if you use cheap potatoes, and there's nothing wrong with cheap potatoes... Right.
It doesn't quite potato-based.
Well, yeah, it's a potato-based band.
Yeah.
But if you do listen to them about 100 times. No doubt on XFM playlist.
Brought another one in. Let's see if it gets any...
Boil potatoes in butter. Boil potatoes and cheese. Boil potatoes in butter. Please, can I have some more, please? Boil potatoes in butter. Boil potatoes with cheese. Boil potatoes with butter. Oh, please, can I have some more, please?
Yes. You brought one more potatoes track in as well.
Yes, so their final song, which was quite...
Because I have to be honest, Robin, I don't want to sort of lie to you. I don't want you to leave the studio thinking, it's going to be on high rotation.
The studio. No, I won't leave the studio.
Well, you'll have to, at some point, you'll have to leave the studio.
At night, I will, of course, to bed down.
I don't want you thinking that we are going to play those songs on high rotation, but you have brought a third one in. We will play
I have brought a third one, which is a very short, quite an angry... protest song, a protest version. Well, it's got an angry angle to it, those words could merge. It would somehow symbolise the feeling behind the song.
I see. Okay.
It's a very short song.
What's it called?
I can't remember at all. but it's about jacket potatoes.
All right. Well, let's have this angry protest song.
There's nothing wrong with jacket potatoes, nothing wrong with jacket potatoes, nothing wrong with jacket potatoes, nothing wrong with jackets.
That's great. I take it all back, my friend.
XFM.
Let's get quizzical.
Quiz face.
The year, Dominic, is 21,000,003. The month is April. It's about 4:15, 4:20, something like that. You are the bounty hunter, Tex McBellamy. You are a tough guy, Dominic, but a tough guy with a heart forced on the run after being falsely accused of a crime you did not commit. Your spacecraft, the Lucy Viraswamy, has crashed on the alien planet Bippo. Do you, Dominic, accept this mission? You have 2 seconds to choose.
Choose. Yes.
Yes, you do. Okay, great. Good work. Then let's begin. Tex McBellamy casts his eyes to the skies and smiles the smile of victory. He's done it. He has single-handedly taken on the entire Craxon race of Bippo, with only his trusty friend and robot, Figgy 5000, for backup. I don't think they'll be coming back for more, said Tex, which was true because they were all dead. but he was stopped from saying any more by the sudden sound, Dominic, the sudden sound of an explosion. What the? Says Tex, never intending to finish the sentence and actually leaving it at that.
Meep.
Says Figgy 5000.
Meep.
Oh, what's this? Uh-oh. Dominic, there is an approaching helicopter on the horizon. Do you run or do you stay and see what happens? Choose an animal.
Choose.
I think I'm running.
No, an animal, Dominic. Choose an animal.
A dog,
you're
incorrect.
Saying? Incorrect. It was a tiger. But look, a helicopter. It's kind of a futuristic cross, Dominic, between a helicopter and a chopper. It can only be your enemy, Senator Green Glove. Green Glove, says Tex. So he's come to finish the job himself. You must hide, Dominic. But where? Where will you hide?
Choose.
Behind the rock.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. No, it was in a barrel.
Incorrect.
But he's seen you. He's seen you. Here he is.
McBellamy!
Screams Green Glove from out of the big tannoy on the front of the helicopter, Dominic. He's shaking his fist at you.
So, we meet again. Well, prepare for your doom, McBellamy. You know that it's a crime now that we're in the year 21,000,003 for you to have your own thoughts and ideas. Well, you've had your last.
That was great, Matt. Well done. What will you do, Dominic? Will you A, go quietly, or B, not go quietly? Fire your phaser to decide now by shouting the word fire.
Fire.
Excellent. You've just killed a man, Dominic. Matt, pass me envelope 9. Figgy 5000, you whisper. On my order, reverse the polarity on your positron deactivators.
Meep, okay.
Says Figgy 5000, who, by the way, is shaped like a beautiful woman. Let's start the power bar. Stop the power bar. It's then, Dominic, that you remember there is a sequence of words which will bring about the automatic destruction of Green Glove's helichopper. It is literally amazing you didn't just do this at the start, but can you remember how this sentence goes? Dominic, and let's drop all music, all effects. Complete the sentence. We are...
XFM.
He's done it! Yeah! He's done it! Excellent work, Dominic!
We are...
You know, at the end of the show, sometimes we talk about what we talked about off-air. Mm. You know, largely it tends to be, food-based or to do with Lucy Viraswamy.
Yeah.
Well, not only do I think that is an important thing to do, you know, it brings people closer to what goes on here, closer to us, and us closer to them. But I think it's important also when we do interviews sometimes, because, you know, we'll play a record and whoever it is will still be on the line, that kind of thing, and it's nice to have a chat with that person, you know? Mm. So I thought we would look behind the scenes and do some almost DVD extras with Ed McFarlane from Friendly Fires. So here's some of the stuff we talked about off-air. For example, we swapped holiday tips.
I went to a place called Spelunga, which is like an old sort of Italian beach town in between Rome and Naples, sort of on the coast.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, it did sound nice, yeah. We also swapped TV tips.
I actually watched Monty Don's Guide to Italian Gardens a couple of months ago.
Wow. So that's nice, you know, Monty Don.
How did that crop up?
I imagine that's possibly on DVD at some point, or perhaps on the iPlayer in some way. And then we got on to what we're into right now.
I'm actually really into the Great British Bake Off as well. Actually, my TV programmes.
Fantastic. Have you picked a winner yet?
Oh, I can't remember which one, who I want to win. I don't want the guy, the sort of indie-looking guy with the floppy hair to win. He kind of annoys me quite a lot.
So there you go. Maybe you can use that for your music news coming up in about 25 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Now, we're going to do our good news, Matt. Have you got some?
Yes.
Have you been thinking while you were making the teas and coffee?
I've just had some, just instantaneous from the past 2 minutes.
What? You're joking?
Yeah.
Let's get this live, topical good news.
What is it? Good news, guys.
Yeah.
I just got to use the that amazing tap on the floor 3 new
magic
kitchen.
The magic tap.
Magic tap filtered. Ice cold water filtered. boiling hot water.
All at the touch of a button.
I made coffee and tea, but I didn't even boil a kettle.
Oh, so this is from the tap?
This is good news.
This is, so you basically, you've just made a cup of coffee for
it's
us all.
It's a cup using, of good news, that's using, what it is. Get it
using,
down, you.
Using the hot tap.
Lukewarm. No, it's boiling hot.
You're a student. What's your good news, Dave?
Good news, guys. For my looming best man speech on Friday, which I might have mentioned before, actually.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Good news. I have somehow managed to secure the services of a rather obscure 80s icon.
Wow.
To pass on their best wishes to the groom, giving the whole service a slightly glamorous feel.
Wow, is the icon the one that I think it is?
It is.
He's not obscure.
Well, no, you're right. Well,
it's massive. This is massive.
Yeah.
And come Saturday, he'll be even more massive.
He when or she used to be bigger.
Right, okay. Well, don't. That's mildly disparaging to us.
No,
he's just
great.
Done you a favour. good news, guys. We had lots of hedges and plants and stuff ripped out of our small London garden yesterday so that our son can have somewhere nice to play. But upon closer inspection, it momentarily appeared we'd torn into an unknown neighbour's garden, destroying plants and shrubs that they had spent years cultivating and allowing to mature. Now, I do not want to be on Neighbours from Hell, so I bravely sent my wife round to apologise. And not only were they fine with it, but they said we should become friends. Though they did say that their dogs would now enjoy easy access to our garden, which I do find concerning. Still, good news,
good
guys.
News.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
How about we let you be clever for a bit?
I'll try.
Here's the music news.
Music news.
This is clever. It's our all-new lineup. This is some clever scheduling here that's going on XFM.
Cledgeling, I call it.
Yes, that's what people are calling it already, yeah. It's the new sound of XFM, starting with your good self, Danny. You're already an established show.
So I'm definitely in the new, in the lineup.
You're definitely on. And that's, I mean, that's confirmed just by this morning.
Good.
With a likeably quirky breakfast show. Not my words, the words of the Media Guardian. Then after us, XFM legend, The Rock, Ian Canfield, is back. He's had a month off. He's back from 10 this morning. Till 2, Dan O.C. in the afternoon, followed by Owen McDermott with Drive from 5 till 8. Then Music Response is back on XFM, legendary XFM show with the mighty Marianne Hobbs this evening. Then taking you through to the ever-present new music guru that is John Kennedy on the judging panel again for the Barclaycard Mercury Music Prize, which is being handed out tomorrow night, of course. Full details on the new lineup on the website xfm.co.uk. Elsewhere, Adele has had to cancel the first two dates on her biggest ever UK tour due to illness. She's had quite a few problems with her health over the past month. Mainly was to do with her throat. Now she's got a chest infection. She's had to pull gigs in Plymouth last night and the one she was going to play in Bournemouth tonight. Also, we have details through about this year's Ox Jam, the series of gigs that happen from the end of September right through to October, put on by the charity at a mystery Oxfam shop somewhere in London. Already we know that the likes of Brett Anderson, Charlie Simpson and Fatboy Slim will be playing shows in tiny locations to raise money for the charity. More music news on the website xfm.co.uk.
I just want to see how clever you are there. I was trying to find just something in here because I love the way you did that whole that, you know, the new lineup thing, and you were ad-libbing around it. You were looking at the schedule and you're going the mighty this and legend that is that. So I'm just, I pulled the TV thing out of here. Why don't you just tell me what's on ITV3 later on today, but in the way you've just done it.
ITV3.
Yeah.
Okay, at 11:55, it is the classic detective Agatha Christie.
So you can't do it. It's only with
it.
It's only with XFM.
Hot. I can't do it. Not with telly. Only radio. Can I do that with the radio?
Man, because that was excellent when you did it. And just let yourself down. And you let us all down. Matt, what would your fact be if I were to say, what is your fact?
Okay, I once interviewed Atomic Kitten on the Love Boat ride at Greater Manor Park and Zoo.
Wow. There are so many things to consider there. You were in a zoo. Where? Which zoo?
Drayton Manor. It's an old theme park in Staffordshire. You know, we have a common
theme
of old theme parks in the fact section.
That's
of this
true,
show.
Yeah, the American Adventure.
Drayton Manor Park and Zoo was quite a good one.
I see.
And it was their first interview post-Katona.
Oh, man.
Yeah, quite a big
How
deal.
Did you score that?
Yeah, I don't know. Basically everyone was.
Were you stalking them around various dilapidated theme parks?
All the local media in the Midlands were invited.
Were they?
Yeah.
And did they all turn up?
Some of them did.
Okay. And did you get an exclusive?
No, not really. Just a really dull chat with three women.
Right. I wish you'd just started the fact with that. I once had a very dull chat with three women in a theme park. Yeah. Phil, what is yours?
Fact about me is that every day during the second semester of my second year at university, I would not, indeed could not, get up out of bed without hearing Jamelia's seminal work Superstar blaring out of my speakers.
Right. Did you own this track, or did you have to wait till it came on the radio?
No, I owned it.
Right. And what is it about the track that speaks to you?
It just gets me just in the mood for a great day.
Give us a little burst.
I don't know what it is that makes me feel like this.
Right.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah. This is XFM.
You must be some kind of superstar. Because you got a lot of No matter what you are.
Would it be great
you
if we all
are,
went?
All right.
That'll do. I was really hoping there, against all the odds, that we would all just break into incredible harmonies. Just four-part harmonies. Shall we practice that one day and then surprise the listeners? We'll do Harmonies Friday. It's not a catchy title, but it's one that'll work. Dave, your fact.
Matt Dyson's really trumped my facts today.
How can he have trumped your facts? How on earth?
Is something else happened at Drayton Manor Park and Zoo?
Dave, if that fact trumps whatever you are about to say,
don't know.
It's not even worth turning up. What is your terrible fact?
During my early years in radio, my first ever interview I conducted was with Premier League football referee Uriah Rennie in Buxton for no real reason.
You're right, and there's absolutely nothing I want to ask you about that.
Uriah Rennie in Buxton.
I don't even really understand many of the things that were said there. My fact is that one day I will be a moon aristocrat.
What?
That's right. About 10 years ago, I got to know the man who owns the moon. His name is Dennis Hope. He runs the Lunar Embassy. He's the head cheese of the Lunar Embassy, which is run in a little sort of a porter cabin, essentially, in Nebraska. But it's got a great view of the moon. And one day in the 60s, I think, or maybe the early 70s, he looked up at the moon, and he thought, I wouldn't mind having that. Maybe I'll have the moon. And then so we looked it up, and there's a space treaty in the early 60s that said that no government or land can own any celestial body or bodies, meaning France can't go, right, we're having Venus, and Germany can't just nick Pluto. It can't do it. But it didn't say no individual can have the moon or whatever, can't have the moon. So he wrote letters to various world leaders saying, just to let you know, I'm having the moon. And, you know, he went with it. And the thing is, right, he now sells acres of the moon to people all around the world. Yeah. And some people do it as like a novelty gift. Yeah. However, the interesting thing about this is that recently he sold a vast quantity of the moon to the Hilton and Marriott chains, who bought a huge amount of acreage on the moon, just in case his claim ever comes true, and they can build the first proper bona fide moon hotels. Wow. So there are people taking it seriously. Yeah. And when I met him in Nebraska, he gave me 20 acres of the moon, turning me into some kind of moon baron. And it's good acreage as well, yeah? It's all south-facing.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
It's got a terrific view of the Earth. It's on the light side, not the dark side. I imagine if you're trying to get involved now, you just get the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, that's all that's left.
Yeah, it's a bad neighbourhood. Don't. It's really poor street lighting. A lot of crime, I would imagine.
Up and coming.
Well, yeah. But you know, you can come around mine and just... I'll give you, like, a little shed at the bottom of my moon garden. We are XFM. My name's Danny Wallace. I'm sitting next to the news hound, Matt Dyson, who's just made coffee using a hot tap, and that constitutes good news in all our worlds, but especially in Matt's, it seems. Shall we do the good news from around the city, from around the country?
Let's head into the good news zone.
Let's do this. Matt.
Good news, guys, from Darren in Basildon. My brand new suit fits me. Bad news, I've got a court appearance today for cutting a wheel clamp off last week. It was part of good news last week.
It was part of good news last week. Another update just arrived. This is very second. It's from Jay in Blackheath. Now, we always know when it's raining, Jay gets to take the prettiest girl in the office home, gets to give her a lift, essentially. He says, good news, guys. I can confirm that last night was a success. Excellent work. Good work. Another update from good news from last week as well. Remember Jake in Sydenham? Confirmed listener Jake. He had met a girl that he likes, and he found out that she likes him. She agreed to go on a date with him. Jake in Sydenham, what's your good news?
Good news, guys.
After finding out the girl I liked me as well, we went out on a date and it was success, and I've got a second date.
A second date! Good work, Jake in Sydenham. What else is happening?
Anonymous good news. I'm organising a fundraising event on Friday, and I've just secured a barrel of the new local beer, Keep Your Peckham Up.
Very, very nice.
Long-eyed smiley face.
Yes, it is. Good news, guys. My allergic reaction is finally going away, says another anonymous, and the uncontrollable itching has stopped. Small-eyed smiley face there.
Good news, guys. Confirm listener Tony here. My girlfriend Helen just dropped me off at work where I'm going to make a cup of coffee.
Is that right?
With a hot tap.
Wow.
Not just good news. He claims it's great news. Well, I'm preempting that.
It sounds like terrific news, but I don't believe you. If only we had some audio evidence of that.
Right, my good news this morning is my girlfriend Helen's just dropped me off to work. I'm going to go work and I'm going to make coffee with a hot tap.
Wow.
Good news, guys.
Yeah, exactly. It is good news. Well done, Tony. Yeah. It's spreading the whole good news with making coffee with a hot tap. What else is going on?
Good news, guys. Bacon and cheese baguettes today.
That's great. That's all it says. That's brilliant. Lucy, who is stuck in traffic, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. Traffic's shocking this morning, which means I get to listen to you for some more time.
Hey, that's good news. And Pete in Staines, in amongst all the new ones that have just come in, says, good news, guys. Danny is getting better at introducing the right songs. That's not good news. That's great news. Excellent work. XFM. Now, ordinarily, we would be doing this with Phil, wouldn't we? Phil the Sports Badger.
Yes. I wonder when we were going to discuss this.
It's a tricky one. I mean, he's not here. That is clear. And Nick's been standing in for him. If you are wondering where Phil is this morning, you may have... I mean, we're not allowed to say too much. You may have read in the papers over the weekend about the controversy. We can say he's suspended, can't we? Phil is suspended. Yeah, we can't say too much. Just to say, Phil, if you are listening, if they let you listen in there, everyone here really does send you their best. And you're right, you know?
Yeah. we hope you'll be back soon, cleared, exonerated, and everything will be fine.
I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say that I agree with Phil in that...
You can't talk about it. You can't say anything else about the...
I'm just saying, it's not impossible for DNA to be faked. Okay? I'm saying that, all right?
All you can say is that he's been suspended. That's all we're allowed
to say. It's not impossible for DNA to be faked, and I stand by that. XFM. Sitting next to me in the studio, the XFM folk hero himself, Tony Bowen, is here. How are you, Tony?
I'm very well. It's been a very long weekend. 5 gigs in a row.
5 gigs in a row?
Yeah.
Where were you gigging?
Here, then, everywhere. It was my birthday on the weekend, so I had a big jam on Thursday, which was
all
cool.
Happening.
I played with a charity gig with Lamar last night, actually. Which was quite funny.
Oh, how did that go? What was going on there?
It was for something called Youth Music, and... Yeah, I kind of know his brother-ish, and he asked me to come and play, so...
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm.
That's great, you're getting around the place. You were in Belgium the week before.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't know what Tony's doing, is a fantastic thing. There's a book called The XFM Top 1000 Songs of All Time. And Tony, brilliantly, has been going through them all and learning them and playing them and sticking videos of him playing them on YouTube, which you can check out if you want to check out. Just type Tony Bowen into YouTube or follow him on Twitter at Tony Bowen Music. And today, you want to play one song in particular?
Yeah, I'd love to do some Plan B. I was confused as to why I wasn't in the book, but I'm sure if there was a new book, it would definitely be in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're releasing the top 1001 songs of all time. Plan B very much a part of that. So, would you like to do it?
Absolutely.
Why don't you introduce it?
Okay, this is Plan B, and she said.
She said, I love you, boy, I love you so. She said, I love you, baby. Yes, she did.
Now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case in the witness box. Telling the judge and the jury the same thing I said to the cops. On the day that I got arrested, I'm innocent, I protested. Just feels rejected. Had a heartbroken about someone she's obsessed with. Makes a sign of my music, makes out she's a fan of my music. While love goes down, makes music. I have to break the man for the music. I'm saying all this in the stand. My girl Christy is in the gallery. It got me a bit difficult to plan. Like a song by the Duke Don's Valerie. But the jury don't look like they're buying it. And it's making me nervous. I'm cross screwed face like I'm trying it. I speak somewhere like a murderer. Wanna lock me up, throw away the key. Wanna send me down, gonna withhold them sheet. Rap, rap. Said I love you, boy, I love you so. Said I love you, baby, oh, 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 oh. Said I love you more than words can say. Said I love you, baby, hey, 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 hey. So then why the hell you wanna treat me this way? You don't know what love is. You wouldn't do this if you did.
Tony Bowen.
Excellent work. You should have seen Matt's face throughout that as well. You were bopping around.
I love it when Tony raps.
I love it when Tony raps.
XFM. And we're about to cross over and talk to, well, I would say a true British hero, you know, a man undertaking what has already proved to be an incredible feat so far. David Williams, are you there?
Hello, my darling Danny.
Hello, David. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You're halfway through this 140-mile swim. How are you feeling about the next leg?
Well, I mean, I'm not actually quite halfway through yet. We're on day four.
Yeah.
And about halfway through day four. If I complete what I've got to do today, which is go through Reading, then I'll be about halfway. And I'm aiming to finish on Monday at some point. But yeah, it's much tougher than I thought. The weather's been really bad. The water's really cold. The plus thing is loads of people have been out to support me, which have been absolutely fantastic. There's people waving from the riverbank. So, you know, and I think we've raised lots of money. Obviously, I'm not doing this for fun, because it isn't fun doing the sport release. And I know your three or four listeners, you know, are very generous people.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to be doing that.
No, so you didn't laugh. I was really worried you'd be offended. You do everything. You present TV shows. You write books. You're a radio DJ.
I'm everywhere.
When are you going to find something you're good at?
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
What have you learnt today, Matt? I'll tell you what you've learnt. Here's one. After telling our listeners about the top five list of names likely to belong to troublesome children as compiled by nervous teachers, we were contacted by an Amy, an Abby, a Chloe, but no Courtney, also two Aarons, no Brandons, but someone who knows a set of twins called Callum and Connor. Their behavioural records not available at this time.
Once again, we've seen a hump day Wednesday spike in good news levels, up 33.2% on Monday and Tuesday as we head towards the weekend. Good news.
Good news, yeah, absolutely. I ingested during the show two small but effective hits of pseudoephedrine, folcadine, paracetamol as well in order to reduce the production of prostaglandins and regulate, I suppose, the hypothalamic heat regulation centre of my body's core. I've got a cold. I'd like to thank Day Nurse.
Okay. I've mentioned PJ Harvey's name at least 12 times.
Yeah, at least,
morning.
Yeah.
A love of the auto harp has only cropped up 3 times, though.
Is that right? And topics discussed off-air during the show today include Juanita from HR, who has still not got... who has still not got back to Dave about the Global Radio Cycle to Work scheme. But who did tell Matt that Boris Johnson's son plays rugby at a field near his house. We also discussed the word twitfam and why Matt keeps using it. Taps and their usefulness in unhygienic coffee making. And Matt's sudden obsession with mentioning PJ Harvey almost as often as he says the word twitfam. Interestingly, no Lucy Viraswamy today.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. Well, there you go. That was podcast number 7 from the vaults of the XFM Breakfast Show. We'll be back every day next week on XFM from 6:30. Or if you're lazy, there'll be another podcast at exactly the same time. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.